Bangladesh buys surveillance tools from Israel and malware pre-installed on T95 Android TV boxes. This is Risky Business News, prepared by Catalin Kimpanu and read by me, Claire Aird. Today is the 13th of January, and this podcast episode is brought to you by Run Zero. In today's top story, a pro-Russian hacktivist group known as NoName057 has carried out DDoS attacks against Ukrainian entities, NATO countries, and others they consider anti-Russian. The group emerged in March last year, shortly after Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and according to early reports, they appear to have created a custom botnet named Bobik to launch their DDoS attacks. Their initial DDoS activity was hit and miss and went under the radar, but NoName got more attention last fall after they launched DDoja, where they offered to pay volunteers to download their DDoja app and participate in DDoS attacks against their targets. So throughout the past year, the group has targeted countries and private companies that have shown any kind of support for Ukraine and its fight against Russia's invasion. Like, the group targeted Finnish government websites shortly after the country announced its intention to join NATO, and Lithuanian railways when they blocked Russian goods transiting to Russia's Kaliningrad exclave. Other targets included Ukrainian newspapers and schools and organisations across Norway, Estonia and Poland. And according to reports published this week by Avast and Sentinel One, the most recent NoName attacks targeted Polish government websites, Danish banks and the websites of 2023 Czech presidential election candidates. These attacks are still going. The group is continuing to orchestrate new attacks via its Telegram channel after being kicked off GitHub in mid-December. Turning to other news now, and after almost 3 weeks of radio silence, Twitter has finally addressed those rumours of two recent data breaches that emerged over Christmas and New Year's Eve. The company says claims that threat actors had collected details of 400 million users and then leaked the details of 235 million of them are not true, and that its security team found no evidence that information being sold and leaked online came from threat actors exploiting its systems. Instead, Twitter says it was likely a collection of data already publicly available online through different sources, and not something that originated from its own systems. But in response to Twitter's statement, Hudson Rock researcher Alan Gall, who discovered both incidents, says he stands by his initial assessment that the leaked data contained non-public information and not just publicly available scrape data. The Bangladesh government has bought surveillance tools from four Israeli companies via intermediaries in Cyprus, Singapore and Switzerland, according to the Israeli newspaper Haaretz. The buyers included the country's Interior Ministry, Internal Security Agency and Armed Forces. The tools included systems to monitor and intercept mobile and internet traffic. They were worth almost $13 million and were bought through the intermediaries because Bangladesh is one of 28 countries that don't recognise Israel as a state. Sweep Wizard, an app used by US law enforcement to coordinate multi-agency raids, has exposed the exact location of upcoming raids, along with sensitive details about both suspects and police officers. According to tech news outlet Wired, data on 200 raids, 5,700 suspects and hundreds of police officers, mainly from California, leaked via the app. After being notified about the leak, the company behind Sweep Wizard, Odin, has taken the app's website and its iOS and Android store listings offline. A threat actor has breached a US company that provides IT services for two Japanese insurance providers and has stolen the personal details of more than 2 million Japanese citizens. The incident was discovered earlier this week after the threat actor posted the stolen data online. According to Japanese media, affected insurance companies include Aflac and Zurich. Aflac says information on 1.32 million cancer insurance policyholders was stolen, while Zurich says more than 750,000 automobile insurance policyholders had their data leaked online. The Royal Mail Postal and Courier Service has halted international shipping services on Wednesday following a severe IT disruption that the company says was caused by a cyber incident. No details were provided about the nature of the attack, and Royal Mail has asked customers to stop sending letters and parcels to overseas destinations until it resolves the issue. Domestic mail in the UK has not been affected by the incident. Researchers at Mend and Checkmarks have discovered several NPM packages that will delete sensitive folders on users' devices if they use a pirated version of the View Admin Better project. The companies have identified 8 libraries and modules that will delete directories that store a developer's source code, their NPM modules, and their configuration settings for Git, Subversion, and Visual Studio environments. The malicious code is included in dependencies and modules invoked by the View Admin Better project, and the destructive behaviour doesn't trigger if a user is running the open-sourced version of the project, but it will if a user is running a pirated commercial version of the software. The project's author posted a statement on GitHub claiming they're fighting back against the illegal use of their software after someone leaked the full version of the View Admin Better project on GitHub without their approval. Daniel Milicic, an IT engineer from Toronto, Canada, has discovered that some models of T95 all-winner Android-based TV boxes come pre-installed with malware. While Milicic wasn't able to analyse the malware in great depth, the researcher says the malicious code resembles an older threat named Copycat that was first spotted in 2017 and is known to root devices and hijack them with adware. Security researchers from Group IB have discovered a new APT group named Dark Pink, which it claims has conducted an espionage operation targeting several countries across Southeast Asia. Group IB says the group commenced operations in mid-2021 and intensified its attacks in mid to late 2022. Researchers say they've confirmed at least 7 historical Dark Pink targets based on the evidence that they've collected. Confirmed victims include military bodies in the Philippines and Malaysia, government agencies in Cambodia, Indonesia, and Bosnia and Herzegovina, and a religious organisation in Vietnam. Group IB says Dark Pink is the group Chinese security firm Anhang calls SAAIWC Group. And lastly, a recent vulnerability disclosed in CentOS Web Panel 7, a popular utility used by web hosting companies, is under widespread exploitation. Following the publication of proof-of-concept code earlier this week, security firms Greynoise and the Shadow Server Foundation say threat actors are attempting to hack into unpatched hosting panels across the internet. And that is all for this podcast edition. Closing the episode is the principal security researcher at Run Zero, Pierce Barry, who'll be sharing some insights on CISA's binding operational directive 2301.
The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, also known as CISA, recently published binding operational directive 2301 for improving asset visibility and vulnerability detection on federal networks. Raising awareness around asset visibility and inventory is fantastic, as these are cornerstone pieces in maintaining a secure network. While there are different ways to approach asset discovery, some fall short of others. Let's take passive network flow monitoring, for example. When deploying at scale, passive flow monitoring is costly and can be difficult to do successfully. It's also not optimal for accurately fingerprinting devices, being unable to directly query a device itself and solely relying on observed traffic. Additionally, encrypted traffic makes accurate fingerprinting even more difficult. Most organizations default to passive flow monitoring because they believe that active scanning is unsafe to perform on fragile devices, such as industrial control systems and biomedical devices. That view is outdated, so there is very little reason to passively monitor traffic for asset inventory. The Run Zero Explorer, for example, was built from scratch to safely scan OT networks and is successfully in use in manufacturing plants, hospitals, and utilities. If you are looking for a purpose-built asset visibility solution that uses a safe, active scanner, augmented with API integrations to key systems, check out runzero.com and start your free trial today.
And that was Pierce Barry from today's sponsor, Run Zero. You can find links to all the reports mentioned in this show in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com. Thanks for listening.